Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, June 6th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. It's going to be a quick pod today. I'm starting a new job. Very exciting for me. We're going to get into what we can expect from this Game 3 in Cleveland tonight, including what we can expect potentially from Andre Iguodala, who is currently listed as questionable. And the question is he going to play? And if so, will he start? We're going to get into all of that and more. You can get this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Spotify, Google Play, and LockedOnWarriors.com, as well as LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. Check us out on Facebook at LockedOnNBAnet and LockedOnDubs. Also, get me on Twitter at Kogitare, Kogitare. You can check out all of my credentials on LinkedIn, Aliko Carter. I write for Forbes.com. I've written for BleacherReport.com in the past. All right, let's get to this game. A lot of people aren't giving the Cavaliers a chance. A lot of people think this series is over. Four games, five games. And that's all she wrote after seeing the Warriors completely dismantle the Cavaliers in game two. It looks like... But basketball is a game of runs, and I'm not just talking about within the game. I'm talking about from game to game as well. And people seem to misunderstand how quickly the tides can turn in basketball because you can score so many points in a short period of time. And I'm not one to count LeBron out. I'm not one to count out the home court advantage. I'm not one to really feel that the Warriors are preordained or predestined, especially after 2016. You know, we can't make those mistakes again. Obviously, going up 2-1, 2-0 is big, and the Warriors are very likely to win this series. But we've seen the impossible happen before. So I'm not going to necessarily go with the conventional wisdom that the Warriors are going to win this series in four or five games until I see it. And when I see it, I'll be happy. I will be celebrating with everybody else. But until then, until we're, you know, done facing the best player in the world, I'm not going to count him out. But if Stephen Curry keeps playing like he's playing like an MVP, like a Finals MVP, potentially, the Warriors have a much better chance of keeping this a short series. Outside of LeBron James, they don't have, the Cavaliers that is, don't have anybody who can guard Stephen Curry. They really don't. George Hill is doing the best he can, but running through screens, all this other kind of stuff. The Warriors are getting their mismatches, and Stephen Curry is going to town. And it's beautiful to watch, and it's amazing because on the other side, they're hunting for Curry. They're hunting for Curry in those mismatches, and he's holding his own in those mismatches. But then on the other side, he's getting the mismatches that he's hunting for, and he's executing. And 8 assists for Curry in game two, which basically means that the defense keyed in on him so much that he was able to distribute the ball to open people, open shooters, open cuts to the basket, and in transition had a couple of assists as well. He attracts so much attention that, and he was able to get up 26 shots, 17 three-pointers, 9 of 17 from 3, which is excellent. So he used 34 possessions that either ended in a shot or an assist. That's 41% of the total Warriors shot output in game two. That's a pretty high usage rate right there. And if you look at the usage rate from this game for Stephen Curry, what you'll see is something that's higher than any rate that he has posted in the postseason so far. He posted a 39.1 usage rate, which over the course of a season would smash the all-time record set by Russell Westbrook during his triple-double season. Curry was aggressive. He was having a good time on the court. He looks very healthy, and those Curry fives seem to be working for him and his ankle. He actually came down on somebody's foot, I think in game one, and his ankle didn't roll. Maybe it's the shoes. But I think with Kevin Durant as the alpha, this team is a little bit less dynamic. With Steph as the person who is has got the ball in his hands the most. The person who, well, I mean, you know, Steph obviously is so good at moving without the ball that it's not necessary for him to have the ball in his hands, but his usage rate, if that is the highest on the team, I think that the Warriors have a better chance of winning than if Kevin Durant's usage rate is the highest on the team, because Steph does a little bit more with the ball and he attracts so much attention that he can get guys open. Kevin Durant can assist the ball too. 7 assists in game 2, 9 rebounds, had a great overall game. I think that the focus on doing other things and not shooting the ball, only 14 shots, kind of helped Durant's game overall. He also had 2 blocks. Only went to the line 4 times, only shot 3 three-pointers, which I'm so down for. But he was able to get his 26 points on 14 shots and then also assist the ball. And that's, when he's not forcing it, the kind of efficiency that you're used to from Kevin Durant, it just feels like maybe he's been forcing it since sometime in that Houston series, and he finally settled into his game in this series, especially in game 2. Quick break for our sponsors. Now it's time to talk Andre Iguodala. If he's able to return, I doubt Steve Kerr gives him the start for 2 reasons. 1, there's no need to make an adjustment. The Warriors are doing just fine with JaVale McGee in the starting lineup. And it doesn't make sense to make an adjustment until you have a reason to. And 2, Kerr likes to be conservative with people coming off of injury. I don't think Andre will play his normal 25, 30, 35 minutes. I think that he'll be closer to probably 20 minutes, but I'm sure he'll be impactful in those minutes. He has been one of the Warriors' most consistent players, not scoring the ball necessarily, but doing all of the things that make it easier for everybody else to exist on the court. Josh Lloyd went into it very well when I guest starred, or maybe it was him who was guesting on my pod a few weeks ago. Josh Lloyd, host Mondays of Locked On NBA, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, basically talked about how much Andre does for this Warriors team, how important he is to the schemes that the Warriors are trying to execute, because he makes it easier for Stephen Curry, who doesn't have to guard. You know, when you've got Andre out there, then 4 of the 5 positions on the court are extremely well guarded, and the 5th is guarded by Stephen Curry, who's really holding his own on the defensive end. Like I said, he's being hunted, but he's up to the challenge. And you have to wonder, are the Cavaliers going to make an adjustment in game 3? Are they going to start somebody else, maybe Jeff Green, to get more offense on the court and then start Kevin Love at center? They've done that in the past, and you have to wonder if that... I mean, Tristan Thompson has been playing well for the Cavaliers, one of the few players to really put up points, rebounds, and generally just making things happen. It would be a disservice to him to bring him to the bench, but Ty Lue's trying to win the finals. LeBron's trying to win the finals, and so to do that, you have to put up points. You definitely have to defend, and Jeff Green is not the worst defender in the world, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him play more minutes or potentially start the game in the place of Tristan Thompson. Kevin Kleps at Crane's Cleveland Business basically said it's easy to say that the Cavaliers should be making a lineup change, but it's hard to see how anyone could be effective. You bench J.R. Smith in favor of Kyle Korver. He has 4 points in the finals. Maybe dust off Rodney Hood, which I've suggested, but he was bad before falling out of the rotation earlier in the playoffs, earlier in the season. Jose Calderon has been old for a long time. Chetty Osman, you know, they don't have a lot of options. But you know what I suggested, starting Jeff Green in favor of Tristan Thompson, would be the only thing that they could really do that could make a difference. However, in the first two games of the finals, Smith, Korver, and Jeff Green combined for 11 of 41 from the field and 5 for 22 from three-point range. Nobody is playing well for the Cavaliers outside of LeBron James. Jordan Clarkson has taken 13 shots, missing 10, and has one assist in his last 9 postseason games. Wow. Jordan Clarkson is just aight. Cavs players not named LeBron have made only 26.4 of their three-point attempts in the finals. 53 attempts, and only a quarter of them went in. The Warriors, for their part, are shooting 54% from the field and 39% from three in the first two games of the finals. Their true shooting percentage is 64.7, 13.1 percentage points better than Cleveland's. The Warriors are averaging 123.6 points per 100 possessions. That's insane. That offensive rating would lead the league by a long shot if extended throughout the season. The net rating is a plus 14.1 after that drubbing in game two. Klepp says the Warriors don't need Andre Iguodala to beat the Cavaliers, and he's probably right, and there just aren't any quality answers to bring into the lineup. The Cavs are just not that talented outside of LeBron James, and they're not showing up. But you can expect them to show up a little bit more at home. The Warriors have to be prepared. Draymond said he knows exactly what to expect going into the queue. They've been there before. They know what it's like to play there, to spray champagne in the locker room there. And the reality at the end of the day is that they are going to see a more resistance from this Cavs team in Cleveland than they ever were going to see in Oakland. And there has to be some preparation there. All right, quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back, and I want to talk about the role players. Sean Livingston playing so well so far in this series, hasn't missed a shot, and is playing great defense as well. Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, all incredible in their own way. Even David West has been playing good minutes, though he's not playing a ton of them. The Warriors just have an embarrassment of riches. It's not really fair, especially when you talk about, well, I mean, it's plenty fair because what we're talking about is team building and the Warriors are just better at it. Bob Myers is just better at it than the Motley Crue in Cleveland that keeps, you know, I mean, there's a ton of turnover there as well. Dan Gilbert just doesn't run a very tight ship. And so, like, the reality is that the Warriors are always going to have a better team than the Cavaliers. And it's only a matter of time before, I mean, maybe not always, you know, but as of right now, with the ownership, with the way things are going, the Warriors are run incredibly well. And the Cavaliers, aside from LeBron, are kind of a tire fire. So, you know, once this season is over, this series is over, and the Warriors win, knock on wood, then what we're going to see is probably LeBron leaving, going somewhere else. Because, I mean, the Cavaliers are just, how did he get this team to the finals? How was that even possible? You know, we're not sure. It's a bunch of 40-point games, of some triple-doubles, and occasionally the role players play well together. But it's absolutely clear that the Warriors' role players are just head and shoulders above the Cavs' role players as far as their ability to contribute on a night-to-night basis. Now, you can't fault somebody for missing contested shots. But you can fault them for missing open shots, and you can fault them for not taking open shots or not taking shots at all, like Kyle Korver. Only 6 shots in the first two games, 4 points to boot. That's nothing. That is, like, why are you even out there on the court, you know? And I went through all those stats, you know, some really just awful stats in the last segment, and, you know, it's just not looking like they have a chance to really win this series, though the Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, great writer for The Ringer, says the Cavs' best shot at stopping Steph is to trap. Steph is making the defense feel helpless. According to O'Connor, the Cavaliers actually did a good job of trapping when they were playing against Victor Oladipo in the first round of the playoffs. They've also done it in
the regular season, but did not do the same thing against Steph in the first two games. You know, three of the greatest shooters ever, Curry, Klay, Kevin Durant. It's hard. It's hard to guard everyone. But especially when Curry is out there with non-shooters. O'Connor says it's important to trap, it's important to help off screens and stuff like that. The switching scheme is just not working for the Cavaliers, and it's very clear. Of course, if they trap Curry, Curry gets the ball to Draymond Green. It opens up the lethal 4-on-3 going downhill where Green has the ball in his hands. You've got people cutting to the basket. You've got shooters outside waiting, and Green can hit the shooter's pocket so well or take it himself to the hole or get a streaking player to an easy basket. And he can do all of those things because Curry attracts so much attention. So, you know, Kevin O'Connor suggests that Draymond would simply, like, bomb away from deep. Draymond's too smart not to see the 4-on-3 and take advantage of it. And that's what's going to happen if the Cavaliers do start trapping. Sometimes it'll work. Of course, you're going to get Curry not nearly as many shots. He took 26 shots in Game 2, and he's not going to take 26 shots in Game 3. Even if they don't trap him, that's a ton of shots. It's very unlikely that he'll get that nearly 40% usage rate that we saw from Game 2. But it doesn't necessarily make the Warriors any less dangerous unless Curry is playing with non-shooters on the floor, guys like David West, Sean Livingston. But even Nick Young is going to have a field day if he gets those open shots from the trapping on Curry. Not only that, but West and Sean Livingston, so efficient around the basket, that, you know, there's going to be one less defender. And I'm sure that trapping, you know, is just fine as a strategy, but the Warriors are going to feast if they only have three defenders to worry about instead of four or five. So we'll see if the Cavaliers decide to trap tonight. I would say they have to do something. You know, they have to do something different, whether it's a lineup change, whether it's trapping, whether it's both, whether it's LeBron once again scoring 51 points. I think 51 points in the queue is definitely different than 51 points at Oracle. If LeBron gets 51 points at the queue, pretty sure the Cavaliers are going to win. So there's a lot of different adjustments, or a few. Not a lot. A few different adjustments the Cavaliers can make for this game tonight, and we'll see what they do. It's now 2:30, almost. I wasn't able to finish this pod this morning, so I'm getting it out a little bit late for today, but I am going to record tonight after the game for an early morning publish tomorrow, so stay tuned for that, definitely, and thanks for listening. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.